RadioArchive.com presents The Glittering Coffins, an adventure of Dan Fowler by Robert Sidney Bowen, read by Milton Bagby. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, The Glittering Coffins. Chapter 1. Jewels and a Murder. Mrs. Ward Starr Harrison smiled her complete approval of the gorgeous-looking creature she saw reflected in the wall-panel mirror. She liked the way the spun gold hair gave the precious softness of youth to her face. She approved of the way her wide-set gray eyes seemed to look out upon the world with innocent, tempting invitation. She liked the added touch of the ivory French phone held daintily to one ear. In fact, for the moment at least, she almost liked her 64-year-old husband, who was at the other end of the phone line.
"But of course I miss you, Star, darling," she purred through to him. 2 weeks? Oh, but that's such a long time. Of course, I'll wait for your call every evening at this time. Tonight, I think I'll just curl up with a good book. Yes, I'll think of you. Yes, take care of yourself, darling. And do make the 2 weeks fly, won't you? I love you too, darling. Bye.
Mrs. Harrison replaced the phone in its cradle, cast one final glance at her reflection in the wall panel mirror, then grimaced and gave a little shake of her head as though ridding her brain of disagreeable thoughts. The dark-haired, dark-eyed, immaculately dressed man seated on the divan to her left chuckled and filled two glasses from a solid silver cocktail shaker.
"I've been called a lot of things, baby," he said, "but never a book. Come here."
She went over to him, took the cocktail and drained it in a single gulp. Then she smiled at him and gave him a two-fingered pat on the cheek.
"Let's get out of this morgue, Craig," she said. "Where shall we go?"
"You name it, beautiful," Craig Lanning said. "After all, you're paying the check."
For a brief instant, anger flashed in Mrs. Harrison's eyes. Even if he was an actor out of a job, and she would slip him the money for expenses on an evening like this, he didn't need to be so obvious about it. Then, suddenly, she was all smiles.
"I know a lovely place," she said. "It's called the Star Tip, and it's way over Waltham way. Shall we go there, Craig?"
"Why not?"
He smiled and took her in his arms and kissed her. She didn't resist.
Lovely.
"I'll put on a wrap,"
she said as she drew away from him,
"and get the car."
A half hour later, he was driving some $7,000 worth of Mrs. Harrison's chrome-studded convertible along a smooth highway that led toward Waltham, some 15 miles distant. Beside him, Mrs. Harrison relaxed comfortably and smiled at the countless stars, completely oblivious to the fact that another car was trailing the convertible at a safe distance. In due time, they arrived at the Star Tip, parked the car, and went inside. Several hours later, when the new day was well along, they came out and got into the convertible. Craig Lanning drove, and he had reached a point a couple of miles from Star Tip, when suddenly the blunt end of a gun was pressed against the back of his neck, and a toneless voice spoke from the rear seat.
"Stop the car, chum, and both of you sit perfectly still."
Stark fear froze in Lanning's face.